You're listening to Strong Runner Chick Radio, Episode 2. Welcome to Strong Runner Chick Radio, a leading online community where our goal is to educate, empower, and connect female distance runners across the world. We believe in healthy running, fueling, and embracing our strength as female distance runners inside and out. Through interviews with top professional, collegiate, and master's level runners, leading dietitians, coaches, sports psychologists, and runners of all shapes and sizes, we hope to spread the message that there is no one-size-fits-all approach to distance running. Now, let's get to the show.
Thank you, and welcome, you guys. Megan and I are here again on SRC Radio, and we have a very special guest. Gabby, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me on, ladies. It is truly a pleasure. Like you guys said, my name is Gabby, and I am currently a student at UC Berkeley. I'm studying sociology, and I'm super into health and fitness and currently training for my very first 100-mile race in November.
Oh my gosh, it's coming up so soon.
I know. I keep having pinch me moments that it is like within counting days now.
Oh, that's amazing. What a cool thing. And how did, if you don't mind me asking, I don't mean a lot of people who major in sociology. How did you get a start in that?
So I had kind of an unconventional start to my college career. And as a junior and senior in high school, I really had no idea what I wanted to do. So I went to a junior college and I just kind of took a bunch of different classes and tried to figure out what it was that made me happy on a day-to-day basis, really. And I thought I wanted to be a nurse. I thought I wanted to be a school teacher. And I just kind of tried all these things and I realized that nothing was really like clicking in the ways that I thought. And then once I took all my prerequisite courses and got into Berkeley, which was a bit of a dream come true, I realized that my favorite classes that I was in were my sociology courses. And so it was just kind of a natural progression for me to declare that as a major. And people ask me all the time, what do you want to like do with that degree? And I'm still figuring it out, but I know that it's the people that I've met so far that have inspired me to go into that field of study.
That's really neat. And that's actually something, believe it or not, I'm looking to do my PhD in. So that's kind of was more of like a personal question.
Yeah.
But that still sounds so fascinating and so interesting. And I love that you said that you had a little bit of like a journey to get there. I feel like that's kind of what college is about, you know, figuring out what, you know, exactly you'd like to do. So props to you for kind of going after it, and not, even though you weren't really sure.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think we see a lot of or a lot of people tell you and tell other people that they are so sure of what they want to do and they've had their paths laid for them since they were young. And I haven't had that same experience. And I think my biggest successes have been from not knowing and trying new things and being okay with being uncomfortable, making decisions that are unfamiliar.
Oh yeah, that hits home, so I totally understand that.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah, it's exciting.
Of course.
It's exciting, yes, and terrifying at the same time.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, what sounds terrifying to me actually is a 100-mile race and ultra. So I would love to know more about your experience running 50 miles, 50 Ks, and all of these ultra marathon endurance distances. What drew you to that originally?
Sure, yeah. So I first started running as a sixth grader in middle school. And I did it because my brother was a runner and I wanted to be just like him, obviously. So I started running cross country in middle school. And then in high school, I started running cross country and I started to become a little bit more competitive. And then in high school, I'd always thought about running a marathon and it was in the back of my head. And I was like, I would love to do that distance. And to this day, the very first marathon I ever ran was a trail marathon. And it was the hardest thing I had ever done in my life. And I crossed the finish line in tears. And my mom was like, I'm so proud of you, Gabby. And it was the most satisfying thing to have been able to set a goal for myself, one that was almost seemingly intangible because I didn't ever think that I'd cross the finish line. And then when I did, I just had this overwhelming sense of pride in myself, which is something that I'm not really used to. I've battled a lot with just being insecure about a lot of things. And so having done this on my own fruition and my own strength was powerful. And I had read a few books about ultra running and I thought, man, these people are stupid. And honestly, I thought it was crazy. So naturally I wanted to do it. And I thought this would be a great goal. And my very first 50K, I signed up and it was horrible. And I passed out at mile 15 and a couple other runners in the race stopped their own race and made sure I had enough water to get to the next aid station. And I was scared out of my wits. And I got into the aid station and they told me that they didn't want me to keep going until I had enough water. And I stayed in the aid station for an hour and a half and I told myself I wasn't going to quit and I was going to finish what I had started. And ever since I crossed the finish line of my first 50K, it's been a testament to how strong you are when you really tell yourself that you're going to succeed and push yourself to finish what you start. So that's how I got into it. Long story long, I suppose.
Absolutely. And after that race, after passing out in your first race and getting back up, and you still finished, right?
I did. Yeah. Of course, my mom got to that aid station because I texted her, because I have my phone on me when I run all the time, just for safety reasons. And she went mama bear on me and she goes, "You're not going to finish this race. I'm taking you home." And I looked her in the eyes and I said, "Mama, I'm going to finish what I started." And I could tell she was proud. She was hesitant, but I just told myself, take it slow and, you know, one step at a time. And I've used that mantra a lot for things far more than running as well. And it helps, definitely helps.
Yeah. Now, after that first race, what drew you to sign up for another one? Because I do, I have friends that even with a marathon, they say, I've done one of those and never again, right?
Yeah.
So, or an ultra marathon, let alone, so a 50K, what drew you to continue signing up?
Sure. So I originally signed up for a 50 mile before I signed up for the 50K. I signed up for the 50 mile in hopes that one day I would run 100 miles. So I was like, I should probably work towards the distance because I have this fascination with running 100 miles and we'll see how it goes November 4th. But a lot of runners that I talked to said, you know, start on the lower end of things and work your way up. So the 50K was a training run for the 50 mile race. And I signed up for the 50-mile race because I was in, like, a very low point in my life, I'd say, and I had just had my heart broken, and I was at a junior college when a lot of my friends were at, quote-unquote, real schools, and there was a lot of stigma that I was feeling around myself of not being good enough and not feeling like I was doing as good as my peers. Especially growing up in the neighborhood that I did, there was a lot of pressure around, like, the choices that you made straight out of high school is dictating the kind of success you're going to have as an adult. And so being that I was so far from everyone around me, I was just like, I want to do something for myself. So I signed up for this race and I trained up for it. And of course, then having such a bonk at my 50K, I was like, wow, Gabby, you're really doing great here. You signed up for this ultra that you say you wanted to run so badly and you didn't even do well in it. And I just told myself to not give up. And I was like, just keep going. And then come my first 50-mile race, I told myself I had been through the ringer, essentially, and that this was my time to prove to myself that I could do it. And I tell you, when I crossed the finish line on my very first 50 mile, it was unlike any feeling I have ever experienced in my entire life. And I have the cheekiest grin on my face right now because I can feel that memory and it feels really good.
Oh yeah, I think Megan and I can both speak to that feeling and probably a lot of our listeners about either crossing that first, that finish line of your first race,
mm-hmm.
or that challenge that you never thought you'd be able to accomplish. And getting that really, like you said, that cheeky grin and almost that like, tingly feeling inside your body.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's such a cool feeling to have.
Totally. And a lot of my friends who are runners now, and they tell me, oh yeah, you know, I finished my first 5K the other day and it's nowhere near as great as an ultra. And I look at them and I say, hey, 5Ks are incredible distances too. And I think as a running community, we have to stop comparing each other's distances and be proud of crossing the finish line for the fact that we're putting ourselves out there and we're signing up for these incredible feats. And no matter what distance you're going, you're doing that on your own, and it's a powerful thing.
Oh, so true, so true. And I guess to jump back a little bit, you said you were at a little bit of a low point in your life when you signed up for that race. Mm-hmm. And how did you get that confidence to, you know, put yourself out there like you just said and go for it? How did you find that within yourself?
Oh man, that's a great question. And I was really scared. But I think when you reach that low point, you kind of look at life as like, I have nowhere else to go but up. And I can't just keep doing the same thing that I'm doing because clearly nothing's getting better. So I have to change. I have to do something different. I have to focus my energy from this unhealthy, sad way of life to something that's positive. And I watched this incredible talk by ultra runner Chrissy Mayle, and she said, even if I don't do anything else, if I get my run and I feel like I've done something and I feel proud of myself for it. And I watched that talk and I just felt changed by it. And I was like, yes, I'm going to put my energy and I'm going to train into this race. And not that it's going to change, like when I cross the finish line, I'm going to be a changed woman, but it's every single day waking up and holding myself accountable and going for a run and changing my diet so that I felt better and surrounding myself with people who were doing well for themselves or taking action in their lives to be the best versions of them helped me. And, you know, every day got a little brighter because I started to get a little bit more confident in myself. And it was a sweet thing too, because it was something that I decided to do on my own. And I think real change only happens when you want to change and you want to be the motivating factor in your life. And so as much as other people can like poke and prod you and say, I really think you should be doing this or that, it really needs to come from inside. And so I think it was something that I really needed. And I'm proud that I was able to recognize that.
Oh my gosh.
Wow, that is really incredible.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, I know, girl. Gabby, girl, you are giving me goosebumps. Oh,
oh
I can't
my
even
gosh.
Stand it.
And I have to ask,
sure,
Gabby,
yeah.
How old are you
now? I just turned 21 in August.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're younger than me, and mm-hmm. I feel like I'm learning so much from you.
Oh, that's
I
22,
agree.
But just, you have such a wealth of knowledge and wisdom to offer, and I honestly feel like you're wise beyond your years, and mm-hmm. I really do mean that. I think that the route that you chose really goes to, it really shows in your advice and your wisdom that you're offering. One thing I wanted to ask is why did you choose to blaze your own trail and take this ultra route rather than going to college like some of your peers and running collegiately or kind of doing what the rest of the crowd was doing? It sounds like you really went off and blazed your own trail. And what drew you to that?
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you for that. It was very sweet. I have goosebumps too. What led me to blaze my own trail? I'm going to preface this story because I think it by admitting or acknowledging that in middle school, I was diagnosed with anorexia, as unfortunately a lot of girls have suffered with eating disorders and body dysmorphic disorders and binge eating disorders. And I've always had this nagging voice in my head that's told me I wasn't good enough and told me that I wasn't able to succeed like the people around me. And I always compared myself to other people to a point where it was unhealthy and it was sick. So I've always been my biggest critic, and it's always been really tough. And in high school, it gets exacerbated because girls are vicious. And it can lead people down some pretty unhealthy paths. And I saw it a lot on my cross-country team, where a lot of the girls were competing. We were competing against each other at the end of the day to cross the finish line first. But a lot of the times, you know, you'd believe that you'd have to be super, super thin in order to be the best. And so that played in. So in high school, I was sort of in this unhealthy body weight and getting really down about myself. And I was the happiest when I was running by myself on long runs, and just feeling strong because I knew I could do it, and because I just felt free. So running has always given me that sort of outlet to feel the most like myself. And I wish I could describe it better, but it just, I feel like myself when I'm on a long run. And it's the place where I feel the most comfortable and the most confident and the most happy. So fast forward a couple years, my senior year of high school, I'm applying to colleges, and I didn't really get into any of the colleges that I wanted to. And I felt ashamed by it, and I felt embarrassed. And, you know, when it was tough, because a lot of the people around me were getting into these Ivy League schools, and they were kind of flaunting their successes. And I was like, what's wrong with me? Like, why didn't I had good, I had a 3.9 and like mediocre test scores. And like, I thought I had done everything right. And I was, you know, I captain of my cross country team, and I didn't understand what was going on. And it was confusing. And of course, then like the past me with the self-critic in my head was like, you're not good enough. Why are you doing this? And then the senior year of high school, of course, I get broken up with by my boyfriend, and I'm like, my life is like feeling like it's in shambles. And so after a couple years at community college, or after my first year of community college, I was like, I need to feel like myself again. And I had lost running for a bit, and that's when I decided to sign up for these ultra runs. And I can really say that it saved my life, because I was starting to fall back into those unhealthy tendencies, and I just didn't really like the person that I was seeing in the mirror every day. And that's a scary thing, because when you wake up and you don't like who's looking back at you, it almost feels like you're a prisoner in your own body, and you can't escape that. And so to now answer your question, why did I feel compelled to blaze my own trail? It's because running makes me feel at home in my skin, and that's a feeling that I never thought I would have. And so crossing the finish line of these crazy ultra races makes me feel like I'm really proud of myself. And coming from where I did, I never thought I would be able to say that out loud.
Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Gabby. My gosh, what an honest story to share with us. So and I should let our listeners know, this is literally the first time Meg and I have ever met Gabby. So the fact that Gabby, you're being so vulnerable with us, like, we really appreciate that. Gosh. So thank you.
My pleasure. And unfortunately, I don't wish for people to come out and say, I too had an eating disorder and all these things. But a lot of people have reached out to me saying that they've noticed and experienced, you know, a lot of body image issues. And in a sport, particularly in running, where being rail thin is the norm for success, it's really hard to be a competitive and healthy runner when you look around you and you don't see your body type represented. And so I know for me, I've struggled a lot with it, because a lot of the top trail and ultra runners are very, very thin women, and they're beautiful and they're strong, but it's hard to identify with being an elite runner when you don't look like them. And so I think if we change the conversation towards not appearance, but just appreciating one another's strength, that's how we'll see a lot more change in the sport. And that's why I so appreciate what you guys are doing, because you're highlighting the beauty in all distances and all runners, and, you know, making it about the successes of one another rather than like the medals and the appearances. And so kudos to you ladies. I'm truly moved by you guys.
Thank you, Gabby. Yeah. That means a lot to us. And we love that you're sharing in that mission as well through your work.
Yeah, thank you.
So I guess you're obviously currently training for your ultra. Mm-hmm. Tell us what your training's been like, because I don't know. I know we have a lot of listeners and readers of our blog who are collegiate athletes, but maybe haven't even dabbled in the thought of doing some even half marathons or marathons. So tell us what training has been like for you.
Yeah, so training is an interesting thing. First off, everyone's training is different. I know some runners who can handle really high mileage volume. ranging from 90 to 100 mile weeks, and some runners who are uber successful and only need 50, like peak maybe 60 miles a week. So it's getting to know your body and getting to know how you best recover, and how, you know, how you adapt to stress. Being that I am a full-time student and I work two part-time jobs, it's hard to get my runs in, but I wake up pretty early and run usually around 5 or 6 in the morning. And if I'm doing a super long run, I'll kind of break it up into two runs. So like an hour in the morning, an hour at night, although I don't really love to do that. And then making sure that I vary my training. So, two times a week I'll have speed or interval work. This morning I did a hill workout and I wanted to, cry to say the least, but I got it done and it felt really good. So two times a week I'll do that. And then really for ultra training, the most important part of your week is your weekends and your long runs. So that means getting in some pretty good high mileage weekends, and doing them back to back simulates how you'll feel on race day when you're running on tired legs. So whether that be, you know, doing a 50K, so 31 miles on Saturday, and then waking up and doing like 18 or 19 the next day when you're not fully recovered, tired, mentally you're not really in it because you've just put in a hard effort the day before, but getting it done and then that kind of back-to-back effort will simulate, you know, a long distance all at once. So that's kind of training in a nutshell from the physical aspect of it.
Now, what kind of strength training and injury prevention do you do? Because obviously 90 and 100 mile weeks can be really demanding.
Yeah.
And even 50 plus mile weeks. Mm-hmm. So what do you do on the injury preventative side to be a strong runner?
Sure. I am a huge proponent of cross training. I think it's miraculous. I am also a Pilates instructor. So I work at Pilates ProWorks, and I cannot preach the benefit of Pilates enough. It's really, core strength is integral in success as a runner, and I think we kind of gloss over that a lot. And you don't need to be a Pilates, like go to a Pilates class or a yoga class every day, but just little moves that you can do every day after a run or on the weekends, like planks are huge, hip circuits, bridges, glute bridges, leg lifts. They kind of look like the old Jane Fonda workouts, like lifting your leg to the ceiling, laying on your side.
That's funny. I call them that too.
Yeah.
The Jane Fonda.
Exactly. Yeah. So incorporating those into your routine, I think is huge. And then a couple times a week, I'll try and get into the gym and lift some heavier weights. I like to believe that, I mean, to be a healthy runner, you have to have a strong core all around. So never neglect one part of your body, from your upper body to your lower body. Everything counts, because you want to be balanced. And a lot of runners are like, I never need to train arms because arms just make you bulky. And, you know, in reality, you at least for me, I think being a well-rounded athlete is always better than, you know, an imbalanced one. So
absolutely.
Yeah,
I agree.
And, yeah. Have you ever been injured or battled that?
I have. So currently right now I'm actually working through a really, really tight SI joint and glute, not in my right glute. I don't actually know what it is. And I've been to pretty much every single doctor and like from Eastern to Western medicine. I've gotten cortisone shots. I've done chiropractic medicine, acupuncture, physical therapy, massage. And it happened during my first 50-mile race. It kind of started flaring up. And then it goes away when I don't run. And so right now, it's all about pain management. So after this race, I'm going to take some time off and really try and heal it. But what I've found to be really useful is, again, Pilates and doing micro movements to really strengthen and activate the muscles in your glutes, quads, and hamstrings. And I think as runners, we really need to pay more attention to making sure we have strong hips. I mean, for women, especially strong pelvic floors, as TMI as that may sound, you really need to make sure that your lower body is strong because it can do damage. And our bones our, I mean, we need to protect our bones. And so anything that you can do preventatively now is great. So I think really taking care of the muscles in your, around your knees, in your hips is going to really pay off in the long run.
Wow, it sounds like you are very well vested in that area. Mm-hmm. And I noticed, are you also a running coach as well?
So I run, this is a funny story. My a colleague of mine who is an instructor at Pilates ProWorks started a company called Run Match. And essentially, it's a company where in your area, you can find different coaches to take you on runs. And so I am a trail running coach. So a lot of people tell me that they're kind of intimidated to get into the trails because either they are scared of going by themselves or that they don't know, you know, where certain trails go. And of course, it is a, kind of an intimidating prospect. So I lead group runs through Run Match in the Berkeley and Marin area.
That's really, really cool. That's such a cool idea for your coworker to come up with.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's very neat. So you can check it out. Yeah, it's at runmatch.co. And and so we talk about, you know, all things trail running and nutrition and form and, you know, whatever people have questions with, I'm there to just kind of impart my knowledge. And a lot of times we learn from each other, which is great because someone will offer one bit of advice on like, oh, I ate this before a run and it was great. And I do this after a run. And so we kind of feed off of each other's energy, which is great. Super fun.
That is great. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So that sounds like it's one of your two part-time jobs.
So I actually wouldn't even consider that a job. It's fun. I work for Goo Energy Labs, which is a sports nutrition company that's family owned and based in Berkeley. And I interned there last year. And I work now part-time in the marketing department along with going to school. So that's where I primarily work.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really neat. That's
unique. Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah. It's been life-changing to have to focus on nutrition as part of training.
Yeah, so actually one of the reasons I was drawn, Gabby, to your Instagram, I don't even know how I came across it, but you often use the hashtag eating is training.
Yeah.
Would you explain that a little bit more to our listeners and even to me for
totally.
So I can understand?
Yeah,
it?
So this is like the questions that make me excited because I love sharing these things. So at Goo, we believe that eating is training. We are a sports nutrition company, so we think or we know that when you have your nutrition dialed in, with that being pre, intra, and post performance, you can achieve athletic success. And it's been shown time and time again that if you train your gut to metabolize, you know, your nutrition efficiently, then you're going to be able to succeed. And so during athletic performance, that means, you know, dialing in what you consume so that you can be able to achieve your best. And I never really like, I would always kind of have this notion that, oh, only elite runners need fuel and I'm out here just, you know, doing whatever. I'm not setting any course records, so I don't need to be eating anything either. And when I changed that mindset, I started dropping time off my marathon. I was able to complete these ultra distances and like my world changed. I think the most significant time that it happened was during a road marathon. I took 7 Roctane sea salt gels and I ran a PR of 3:12 in my marathon, and it was like life changing. And I qualified for Boston, and I don't think I could have done it if I hadn't had the proper nutrition. So that's what we mean by eating is training during athletic performance. And then pre and post is equally as integral because you are your body. It's like you are what you eat. If you're feeding yourself good, wholesome nutrients, you're going to be able to recover quicker. You're going to just have more longevity. You're going to get sick less often. And you're going to teach your body to be as efficient as possible. And so every day it's about making choices that are going to fuel you for success, essentially.
I love that hashtag, and I love that Goo came up with that.
Yeah.
And that you continue to use it not only for your for Goo, but for your lifestyle in general. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks. It's great. My boss, Magda Boulay, is an elite ultra runner, and she is my inspiration and my role model. And she was the first one that really taught me to prioritize nutrition. And I, you know, I've always known that food is like, let food be thy medicine type of thing. But seeing her practice it every day for every meal and making balanced meals and then seeing that pay off in her training was just eye-opening. And so I got to, we have a sports nutritionist, Roxanne Vogel, who works at GU as well. And over the summer, I got to spend some time with them since we ran a stage race in Colorado. And every day we just cooked together and we made these meals, and we all got so much stronger. And like, I could feel I can't even explain it. It was great. So food is really a huge part of training and, you know, being strong and being able to fuel yourself correctly is absolutely necessary.
I can't believe Magda is your boss. I have such a girl crush on her. Oh my gosh.
Before I started working at GU, I followed her on Instagram and I was like, this woman is incredible. And then I met her in person and she's even more incredible. And I can tell you, she treats everyone with so much kindness and respect. And during every race, she'll talk to anyone there. And so having positive role models like that is something that I really look up to and aspire to be. So it's fantastic. She's great. I love her.
Well, you are certainly becoming a role model, if I could say that. Oh, 100%, thank you. Gabby. Absolutely.
Oh, I so appreciate that. I have goosebumps over here on my end.
Gosh, you talked a lot about there about nutrition and things that work for you. And I really think that that's something that we look to highlight here. We did a series on our website about fueling the pro athlete and mm-hmm. such like that. And it really highlighted showing the fact that everybody fuels differently, but that they fuel for their body and what works for them. And so that certainly sounds like something that you're speaking to right now as well.
Yeah, thanks. It's necessary for everyone. And being in college, I live in a house with a bunch of different people, and a lot of my housemates and even just friends from lectures come up to me and they go, Gabs, you know, I'm just feeling really down and my energy levels are low and I think I'm getting sick again. And I'm like, well, what'd you have for breakfast? And like 9 times out of 10, it's, oh, I didn't eat breakfast. Or it's like, I had mac and cheese for dinner and I had ramen for breakfast this morning. And like, I kid you not, those are answers that I get.
College.
Yeah, it's great. And I was like, well, why don't, you know, are you getting fruits and veggies? And a lot of people think that those things are really expensive or they don't have time to prepare them or what have you. The answers are all across the board. And my response is, how do you feel right now? Like, let's reassess the situation. Like, let's see. If you're not feeling good, then you have to take some sort of action to change it. And a lot of the times, it's not even that you're spending that much more or taking that much more time to prepare it. It's just being conscious of making better decisions. And it doesn't have to be super hard. And if you allot, you know, 10 to 15 minutes a day, either in the morning or at night, or maybe an hour on the weekends, a little goes a long way. And I think a lot of people think that it's black and white, and that if they want to eat healthy, it's got to be only organic, only sustainable, only local, only the most expensive things. But really, you can do little things every day to improve your health and your diet. And that, I'm a huge advocate for that.
Yeah,
Go
ahead, Megan.
I was gonna say, kind of going off of that. Here at Strong Runner Chicks, so we all kind of seem to share a bond for a love of good food mm-hmm. and sharing recipes. What are three things you do either on a day-to-day basis or weekly? Like, are you a food prepper, or what are some things that you make sure to get in, kind of your non-negotiables for nutrition that you would, at least for you personally?
Sure, that's a great question. My non-negotiables. So one is cook with spices. I totally believe that spices are incredible for everything. Turmeric, ginger, cayenne, oregano. I use pink Himalayan sea salt, pepper. So I just like douse everything that I cook with in spices. Mustard seed, cumin seed, I mean, everything. It's all fair game with me. And then I think spices have a lot of antioxidants in them, and those help, you know, ward off against bacteria and infections in your body. Turmeric is an anti-inflammatory, so the second that I feel like I'm starting to get sick, I'll just dump turmeric on everything. So cooking with spices is one of my non-negotiables. The second is doing what I can when I have the time to prepare healthy food, or to prepare food that is going to be more convenient. So whether that means like cooking a bag of quinoa, putting it in a Tupperware, and then putting it in my fridge, so that when I'm hungry, it'll be ready and I don't have to wait and like grab something else instead that could perhaps be less nutritious. So then that's probably part A of that answer. And then part B is I work with our sports nutritionist, Aku, and she looked at the mileage that I was running, and we agreed upon a few things where at every meal I should be getting in a source of protein, a source of fat, and a source of carbohydrate. And the carbohydrate should be a complex source of carb, a full fat source of protein, and a good portion of protein. Or did I repeat myself? Mm-hmm. Protein, fat, carb. So whether that be, you know, quinoa at breakfast with 2 hard-boiled eggs and 1/2 an avocado. And then a snack should always have some sort of protein in it. Lunch could be, you know, brown rice and tofu and beans, and then a drizzle of olive oil, and then, of course, all my spices. And then dinner is, you know, a variation of that. So making sure that every meal is balanced and rounded is probably another non-negotiable. And then my third and final one is that don't be strict with your diet. I have been there. I've done that. Everything is okay in moderation. And eat what makes you happy. And, you know, food is a really beautiful way that brings people together. And it makes you happy. And it's a great way to share with one another. And nothing, like I said earlier, in life is ever black and white. So you never have to. I went through a time where I never ate sugar, and I never put a single ounce of sugar in my body, and it was miserable. And you know, your brain needs sugar to function. And so eating everything in moderation and having, you know, a cupcake for your birthday, or like waking up in the morning and feeling like you just need a piece of toast, like all of these things are okay in balance and in moderation, and it's going to make you a healthier athlete. And most importantly, I really think it's going to make you a happier one too.
That's awesome.
Awesome advice.
Yeah, thanks.
Love it. Yeah, and those all the meals you described with your spices sound amazing as well.
Oh, thanks.
So we may be asking for some
My
recipes.
Gosh, happy to share. I am too frequently I see, you know, like I'm a vegan runner, or I'm a paleo runner, or I'm a this runner, I'm a that runner. And a lot of times, you know, there are food allergies that do exist, and I totally believe eat what's good for your body. And don't let other people food bully you, because that happens a lot. But also just be aware that like everybody is different and we all need different things. And there's no reason to think that, you know, one food is the enemy. Because you can eat like just a massive amount of kale all the time and you're not going to be a healthy person. Your farts will probably just smell really, really bad. And that's probably all that's going to come of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of going off of that, and nutrition-wise, mm-hmm. What are some things that are different about ultramarathons? Because I've talked to a couple friends, and I do hear some horror stories when it comes to fueling and the digestion. So what do you recommend if, say, like, for someone like myself, or someone who's done 5Ks, 10Ks, maybe halves, but never an ultra, what should our listeners note when they sign up for their first long distance race, when you have to actually fuel on the run?
Yeah. So my biggest tip would be to train with your fuel, and don't get to race day thinking that like you can wing it. So always in practice, train with what is going to be on race day, because the less unknowns and surprises, the better. So figure out what works for your body. at Goo, I know, and I'm not just saying this because I work there, but everything that we make is, you know, scientifically formulated to be the easiest to digest and most readily available source of energy that your body needs when you're working out. So our gels are miracles for me. So I take one gel every 30 minutes to get to 200 calories an hour because I know my body responds really well to 200 calories every hour and then water in between. So my mantra when I'm racing is sip and nibble. So ultra running has kind of had this nickname of being an eating contest, and whoever can eat the most will be the most successful. In a lot of ways, that's true, because if you can keep calories down, you could run forever. Not saying that anyone would really want to, but so figuring out what's good for your body, and you're going to figure that out on your training run. So on like a 16 or 17 mile run, you know, one day try taking gels, another day try drinking your calories, and luckily at Goo we have, you know, every source of fuel available. So Roctane energy drink is probably the most incredible product that we have. Magda Boulay actually won the Western States 100 just solely drinking Roctane drink, and it's incredible.
What is in this?
It's
drink.
Yeah, it's
sounds magical.
It is. So it's got the perfect ratio of calories to electrolytes, to carbohydrates, to branched-chain amino acids. So it's like rocket fuel, essentially. Unfortunately, I'm really bad at drinking, and I don't drink enough water. So I tend to, when I do Roctane drink, I don't get enough calories in because I'm not drinking enough. But I'm working on it. I'm training. So I'm training my body to be able to drink more. It's an incredible drink, and she just drank that. She drank, I think, like 16 or 17 bottles worth of Roctane drink at the Western States 100, and she won. And she's a successful, I mean, probably one of the most successful women ultra runners, because she's really trained her gut to be like hyper efficient. So you can do that. So my answer to you would be, you know, train with what you're gonna do, and don't be afraid to mix it up. I have tried so many different things, and I tried eating real food on runs, and I tried eating just Goo, and I tried doing both, and listen to your body, and it will tell you what it wants. You just have to be willing to listen, essentially.
That is wonderful fueling advice.
Yeah.
And on the note of advice, we do have another question. Kind of to wrap up a little bit,
yeah,
here is, what advice would you give, kind of going back to your younger self?
Mm-hmm.
So what advice would you give, say, your high school self or your entering college self?
That's a great question. The advice that I would give myself, I think, would be to practice loving myself a little bit more. And I think today, especially, if when we say that, a lot of people misinterpret that as being selfish or, you know, thinking about yourself. But I think we overlook self-care a lot. And admitting that when we're feeling low, to ask for help and ask for someone to listen. So if I was my younger self, I'd tell myself to not be afraid to take time to recognize my potential and to be confident in myself. Because I think the biggest thing that I've learned is that nothing can come in life when you aren't sure of who you are and the person that you want to be out in the world. And I still don't really know who that is, but I'm more comfortable now with in my own skin trying to figure that out. And I know at the end of every day, I just want to have been kind to everyone. And I want to give love to everyone. And I want other people to feel comfortable to be themselves around me. And I think that really starts when you love yourself. So I think that's the advice that I would give myself. And that's something that my mom taught me, or tried to teach me, and I kind of lost hold of it when I was younger, and I'm trying to get back to. So that would definitely be it.
Oh my gosh, I can't stop having goosebumps in this conversation. My goodness.
Aww, thank you.
So our last kind of interview question, I guess you could say, would be, what does being a strong runner chick mean to you?
I think that's probably my favorite question. I know to me it means lifting each other up. And so much of running is an individual sport, and that's what makes it so beautiful. But what makes a strong runner chick beautiful to me is that we can all celebrate each other's successes. And just because someone does well doesn't mean that you didn't. And it's recognizing how much effort and motivation and strength we all put in individually, and seeing that when we come across the line and we can, you know, celebrate each other. So I think it means like recognizing the power in one another. And that's why I love your guys' platform, because we're, you know, you're bringing together all these incredibly beautiful and strong and diverse groups of people. And, you know, you're not comparing one another, but you're letting us see how unique and powerful we all are. And I think that is incredible. And it means a lot to be a part of a community like that.
Thank you so much, Gabby, for sharing that. And I think that puts it's really beautiful what you said there about just lifting one another up and how much we're aiming to do that through Strong Runner Chicks. One final question we do have as well is, how can listeners connect with you?
So I am on Instagram as Gabby Modiere. So it's just G-A-B-I and then M-A-U-D-I-E-R-E. I don't have a Twitter or a Snapchat. I'm on Facebook, same Gabrielle Modiere. So if they want to come follow me over there, I would love it. And it's just a whole lot of running, a whole lot of healthy food and motivation up the wazoo, I hope. So, yeah.
And if they're in Berkeley, can they join your running group?
Totally,
as well?
Yeah. So, again, so it's, I'm just on runmatch.co, and you can just search my name again, very creative title, and you'll see my runs come up in Berkeley during the weekdays and Marin during the weekends. I love to do the Saturday morning run at San Francisco Running Company. So, every Saturday at 8 a.m., a huge, or not a huge, but like a great number of local trail runners come out, and all different levels and distances. And we get together and we run over in the headlands, and it's perfect start to the weekend. So you can catch me over there too.
Can we
go? Yes.
I know. I want to fly out.
Totally. It's awesome. It is awesome. The group there is incredible. So I highly recommend.
Megan, we might have to take a road trip, I'm thinking.
We might.
Definitely.
Strong Runner Chicks on the road.
Oh, yeah. That would be so fun. Well, yeah. Well, definitely call me when you guys are in town. I would love to maybe do a TAM summit with you guys. It's always an incredible way to start the morning, too.
We'd be down. 100%.
Yeah, awesome.
We're both getting used to the mountains, actually. So I just moved out to Utah, and Kelsey's on her way to Colorado pretty soon. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we'll be ready to climb that mountain with you, too.
Oh, my gosh. So
soon.
Excited. Well, I cannot wait.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Gabby, thank you so much for being with us today. And, well, this evening, I guess. Yeah. But we really just want to thank you and welcome you into the Strong Runner Chick community, because, gosh, from all that you've said, the lives you're going to change and by the people you meet is really, it's quite magical, all that you've done and all that you've said tonight, and your platform and the way you say things and what you believe in. So don't be a stranger, and always be in contact with us, because we would love to help support you in any means possible.
Oh, thank you so much, ladies. I perfect way to cap off my night. And if you guys are ever in the Bay Area, you are always welcome to stay with me, and I would love to share some miles with you guys. So I really appreciate all that you're doing for the community. It's such a treat to be able to have been able to talk to you guys. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much again, Gabby.
Oh, my gosh.
It's wonderful talking to you.
You too, ladies. Have a great rest of your night.
Thanks for listening to the Strong Runner Chicks Radio. Do us a favor and leave a review in iTunes to help spread awareness and foster the SRC community. Additionally, make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter at Strong Run Chicks.